NPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. A new education reform effort is the latest buzz among teachers, parents, and students. It's called Common Core. Pioneered by the National Governors Association, along with state school officers, Common Core was partly a response to what U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan has famously called dummied down standards, used by some schools to make themselves look good. Common Core promises to be tougher and change the way teachers teach and students learn. There are no specific textbooks or curriculum. Instead, the focus is on deeper comprehension for everything from writing essays to working math problems. At first, the program received bipartisan support, and 45 states, including New Hampshire, signed on. But now, just as it's supposed to be going into effect, there's been some backlash to Common Core. Republicans in Congress say it'll lead to too much federal involvement in local education, comparing it to a nationwide straitjacket. Well, some Democrats say educators have not been given enough input, and two major teacher unions are calling for a moratorium to give their members more time to adjust to yet another brand of education reform. Today in The Exchange, what's in store with Common Core? Let's hear from you. How worried are you that our students are falling behind others globally? How well do you think American kids are being prepared for college or the workplace? Are these concerns for our students that we often hear overblown? And what questions or concerns do you have about Common Core? We want your thoughts and comments on this. Call in 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have three guests with us to look at this for the hour. Paul Peterson is with us, director of the Harvard University Program on Education Policy, editor-in-chief of the journal Education Next, and author of the forthcoming book, Endangering Prosperity, A Global View of the American School. And Paul Peterson, great to have you. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me to join you, Laura.
With us in studio, Laura Haney, president of the New Hampshire chapter of the American Federation of Teachers. And Laura, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
And also with us, Heather Gage, director of the Division of Instruction at the New Hampshire Department of Education. Heather, thank you also for your time.
Wonderful to be here, Laura.
Well, and Heather, I want to start with you, but hear from everybody. You know, there's a long, long road of education reform efforts preceding this one. Seems like every time you turn around, somebody's got the magic answer to solve all our education woes. Is this really what our schools need, yet another reform effort?
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful question, Laura. Thank you so much for starting it this way. We need to be focused in education. And I know with all of the variety of different reform efforts that we have going on, specifically right now in our education system, it's difficult. And the state agency, as well as a variety of partners around the state, are trying really hard to make sure that we're being responsive to what teachers need in the classroom. We need this these standards now because we are trying to make sure that all of our students are college and career ready. And we believe through a multitude of processes of reviewing the standards that this is the right way to go. We've talked to parents and teachers, a variety of other partners around the state and the country on these standards, and we feel like these are the best that we have right now, and we need to move forward with them.
And we'll talk certainly all hour about how these might be different from other reform efforts that we've seen, how they bubbled up from the states instead of being
Absolutely.
Imposed from above. But I wonder what you think too, Laura Haney. Is there a little bit of reform fatigue here? I mean, No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, you know.
Very much so. And AFT had done a poll a while back, and then 75% of the teachers do support these standards.
The Common Core.
The Common Core. We think because we had a high engagement in the development of these standards, really made a difference. We were brought to the table, we were part of the table, involved in the conversations, whereas a lot of these other reforms, we weren't part of those conversations. It was top down. It was, here, this is what you're going to do. Teachers are concerned about implementing them. I want to make sure that they have the time and the tools and the fully understanding of them, but 75% of them do support these standards.
Now, your group, the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association, the other major teachers union, did call for a moratorium on putting these in place to give you more time.
Correct, yes. And you need to have the teachers to be able to unpack these standards and to understand them. And you have to understand these are just standards. These aren't the curriculum. So you have a standard of where you're starting from, and you have to build on to how do you get to those standards. standards and how do you teach those standards to these students. And they really, like I said, they need to unpack these standards and they need time to understand them. And it is going to be a different way of teaching. It's just not going to be a rote memorization and endless test taking. It's going to be critical thinking and problem solving and teamwork that these kids are going to be moving towards.
Which was some of the critique of No Child Left Behind, that it was too much focused on rote and test-taking and so forth.
And to you too, Paul Peterson, I mean, it's hard not to get cynical when every few years there's some new buzzword, some new effort that supporters say will fix everything. What do you think about fitting this Common Core effort into the broader the history of education reform?
Well, we've been trying to find the right lever to change American education, because when we compare how the United States is doing with other countries around the world, we're not doing very well. We, in terms of student proficiency, we're only 32% the last time we did this analysis. 32% of our students are proficient in math, and that puts us at 32nd in terms of countries around the world. So, you know, people have been trying to say, what can we do to raise our performance up to international standards, and that's what the Common Core is about. Can we raise them to, can we raise the expectations that we have of our students here to those that are existing worldwide? And so the Common Core effort has been trying to do that. The states currently are setting very low standards. Not Massachusetts, it's setting pretty high standards, and New Hampshire is better than most states, but still, most states around the country are setting very low standards.
So the idea is some states set very low standards, what Arne Duncan called dumbed down standards, Paul. And that makes you look good, doesn't it? Hey, we're meeting the standards. All our kids are above average. Kind of like Lake Wobegon, right?
That's the story.
So how do you, how come this wasn't solved by No Child Left Behind, Paul? Again, putting this Common Core in the range of reform efforts that we've seen. I thought No Child Left Behind was supposed to solve that you know, soft bigotry of low expectations and standards that weren't tough enough.
Right. Well, No Child Left Behind has gotten a little bit of a bad rap, because actually student performance has risen, especially at the fourth grade level and at the eighth grade level, to a lesser extent since No Child Left Behind was put into law back in 2002. So the record, as best we can tell from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, shows that there was more progress made under that than there was in the preceding decade. So that's, you know, basically it's had a positive effect, but it hasn't gotten us to where people would like to be.
I want to remind everybody that our phone number for you to join our conversation with your questions and comments about the new Common Core standards that are coming to New Hampshire schools is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. What questions or concerns do you have about this reform effort? And how much do you think it's needed? Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Heather, you touched on this in your first answer, but let's go a little further with it. Remind us how this got started, because unlike some past efforts, this really did get started in the states, by the states.
Absolutely. For several years now, since back in the 80s, we've been talking about standards-based reform, but we've really not drilled that down into what it looks like in the classroom. It's always been at a high policy level. And the states, as well as the governors and the commissioners or superintendents of state education agencies, came together and brought in teachers and parents from around the country and said, how can we do this better? How can we make sure that teachers get the supports that they need in the classroom to make sure that kids are college and career ready? So teams of folks from around the country came together to look at English language arts and literacy across disciplines, as well as mathematics, to figure out what it is that we need. What are the common buzzwords, fewer, clearer, higher standards that we need to be able to provide that roadmap for teachers in the classroom?
How long has this been going on? Because it sounds like an enormous, gargantuan effort.
Absolutely. Since 2008 is when this particular, again, we've been talking about standards-based reform for a long time, but since about 2008, we really started getting these teams together to have focused conversations.
Yeah, and would you say, Laura Haney, that that's what's different about this?
I I 100% believe that, yes.
The authorship of this.
Yes, yeah. And it was nice that, you know, the national level said, you know, at the local level, you have to involve the teachers, whereas many, many other times that does not happen. I'm just hoping that, you know, moving forward, that will continue, that the teachers will be given the support, the resources that they need to do this. It is a whole new way of doing stuff. I believe I compare it to a doctor. There's a new procedure for doing something that you make sure that the doctor has the time and the tools to be able to do that procedure. We need to do the same thing for the teachers to make sure that they have the time and the tools to do this and the understanding.
Well, give us an example of how it's going to change what your teachers do in the classroom day to day.
It's going to be more specific. So you have a first grade teacher that hears a standard that you have to meet and getting the kids to understand that and to be able to perform that standard. That first grade teacher will be able to talk to that second grade teacher and say, hey, these are the things we met. These are the things we've done. And being able to talk to that second grade teacher, and she'll be able to say, well, last year your kids did not get to this, so we have to change instruction in the first grade. So I think there's going to be a lot more conversations in the schools about how kids are performing and what needs to be revamped or changed or updated to help those kids.
Is what they have to know also different, Laura?
A lot of it, I don't think so. I think a lot of it will be the same. I think how we go about doing it is going to be different and more specific on what grade levels are going to be doing what instruction.
Yeah. All right. And did you want to jump in there real quickly, Heather? And then Paula, I want to hear from you too. But go ahead, Heather.
I did. You know, we commonly hear of the mile wide, inch deep scenario with past standards. And what we're trying to do is get a lot more focused on what kids need to know and be able to do. And that's what we believe the Common Core State Standards within ELA and math help us do. It helps us focus on what important standards there are, and teachers are able, with those supports that Laura talked about, will be able to go deeper into what those standards mean. Instead of trying to cover so much in a limited amount of time, what are the important things that we want students to know? And let's drill deep in those so that they understand those.
Hence the word core. What's
yes.
the core of what we need to go? And ELA is English Language Arts. Is
yes,
that right?
Yes.
All right. And Paul, I want to go to you too after a short break. We'll take your calls as well at 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here.
It's 9:19. Good morning. NHPR brings you the news every day, all year long. News from around the world, across the country, and throughout the state. Breaking news, developing stories, weather and sports. NHPR, keeping New Hampshire connected. More on the Common Core on The Exchange on NHPR. Then at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, debate over the end of lifetime alimony. New Hampshire weather, clouds, some breaks of sunshine, chance of some showers and thunderstorms today. High 70 to 75 from the Lakes region to the Canadian border, 75 to 80 south of the Lakes region to the Mass border. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the New Hampshire Trust Company, a locally owned and managed firm providing trust and investment management services throughout New Hampshire. Online at nhtrustco.com. And Spiderweb Gardens in Tuftonboro, a garden center and farm offering CSA farm shares for a season of fresh local vegetables and cut flowers. Details at spiderwebgardens.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, Common Core, a new set of standards for public education, and some of the challenges this latest reform effort faces just as it gets off the ground. We invite you to join us with your questions, comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. As we're hearing, the Common Core was developed because there's a concern that American students are falling behind others globally. How valid a concern do you think that is? How well do you think American kids are being prepared for college or the workforce? 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And you can also post a comment on our Facebook page. With us in studio, Heather Gage. She's with the New Hampshire Department of Education. Laura Haney, president of the New Hampshire chapter of the American Federation of Teachers. And joining us from Massachusetts, Paul Peterson, director of the Harvard University Program on Education Policy. And Paul, I did want to go to you as well. Just how would you say that this is different from past reform efforts, in addition to what our other guests have said, that it's important that it came from the states, it wasn't imposed from above. How else would you say this is different, though, Paul?
Well, what I would say about this effort is that it really is a continuation of an attempt to set up a national set of standards and expectations nationwide, and therefore it's going to run into the same problem that all other efforts have made in the past, and that, which is, well, encountered in the past. And what's happened in the past is that when you set a common standard nationwide, you are confronting a reality out there that some states, students are learning a lot more than other states. So in New Hampshire, 37-38% of the students are proficient in mathematics, whereas in California, 23% are, and Hawaii, 21%, West Virginia, 18%. So there's a huge variation around the country in the performance of students. So when you say everybody's going to do the same thing nationwide, and everybody's going to have the same test, and everybody's going to have the same expectation as to where they're going to pass, this means that some states are really going to have some very bad-looking records out there, and that's going to lead to a lot of political pressure. So I don't think the rubber has hit the road on this one yet.
Yeah, that was the problem, right, Paul, with No Child Left Behind, too, is that all of a sudden states that thought they were doing pretty well looked pretty terrible.
Well, you know, what they said with No Child Left Behind was that by 2014, all students shall be proficient. Well, in fact, there's about 35% are proficient, somewhere in that range nationwide. So basically, it fell apart. Because when they put it together in 2002, 2014 seemed like a long
right.
ways away. Now you notice that what's happening with Common Core standards, they start off saying we're going to have very high standards and we're going to put them into place, but now already they're saying we're going to push back the date that we're really going to expect these things to bite. So my feeling is that the political turmoil is not going to go away. It's going to probably intensify in the next coming years.
Let me ask you one more question about that, though, and then definitely go to our listeners. So if you're on the line, stay there. The difference that I see in this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, is, you know, whereas before, West Virginia is only 18% proficient in math. So, yes, it pushes back against federal standards. It asks the government for a waiver. It says these standards are too tough. In this instance, with Common Core, West Virginia signed on to this. It's not a federal oversight thing. It sprung from the states and is being done by the states. So who does West Virginia push back against? It agreed to do this.
Well, yes, it's true that in principle they have agreed to it. But have they agreed to all of the specifics that are coming down the road? There's plenty of slip between cup and lip in all of this.
All right. Let's go to our listeners, hear what they say, and then a lot more questions for all three of you. The phone number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And let's go to Nottingham first, where Steve is waiting. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for this discussion. I'm a college professor, and I can only fully concur that what I see in the classroom, the products of our schools, is a disaster. For example, if I give a quiz and I tell them they're 25% off or something, no student can actually calculate it. They have to take out their cell phones to be able to do it. So what my concern is listening to this panel is I remember a book by Erica Johns called Fear of Flying, and her point was when she flew for a bunch of psychiatrists to Hawaii, she said she was killed by jargon. I'm confused and don't understand what the Common Core is. I'd like to have a more specific explanation of what they're talking about. Forget about who agrees and why they agree with it, but what are they actually talking about?
Yeah, it's a great question, and we'll definitely do that. I'm interested, though, in your comments, Steve, that you do feel this is badly needed. You're not impressed by what you see.
What I see is that they can't write sentences. They can't write, they can't do math. It is what we'd say in Yiddish, a shanda. It is a disgrace to think these are products of schools that have somehow said they have graduated and therefore are somehow at least literate at a high school standard. And they're not. And many colleges throughout this country have to do remedial courses in math and English just to bring them up to college level, which is, to me, a real waste of time on the college level.
Well, Steve, thanks a lot for calling in. And
go
ahead, Paul.
You know, I think that's really the motivation behind the Common Core standards. I mean, it was the Gates Foundation that came up with this idea in the first place, and they worked with the National Governors Association and with the Council of State Chief School Officers. But the basic idea was to set up a set of expectations so that everybody would be college ready. And to do that, you had to set up, what do you learn in first grade? What do you have to know by fifth grade? What do you have to know all the way through the educational system? And so that's a terrific idea. And I think it's really, really valuable for teachers to know, well, what are you supposed to actually learn by the end of second grade and have everybody sort of on the same page? So it makes a lot of sense to have a clear set of expectations. But when you set up a clear set of expectations for everybody, and there's a lot of variation in what kids bring to school because they come from different families and they have had different experiences and they have different backgrounds. So to get them all on the same page is going to be a tremendous challenge.
Well, and I'm kind of surprised, Laura Haney, that we don't do this already, that there isn't a set of expectations about what it takes from, you know, kindergarten on to be college or career ready. I'm kind of surprised we're not doing that already.
I think we are in some aspects, but I think every school has different standards. I live up in Rochester, and you have kids that move from Rochester to Dover Somersworth, and if you don't have a set of standards, those kids that move are going to be either repeating a skill that they've learned or they're going to be coming into something that they've never touched base on. So I think it gives a common ground for everyone to work with to move forward.
Do you want to also, Laura, take a stab at answering Steve's question? He said, you know, first of all, he said, I agree this is needed. But he also said, you know, what are we really talking about here? And he mentioned a lot of jargon. So even at his level, I don't think he really understands what we're talking about here.
I look at it, my background, 17 years as a special ed teacher, and we did a lot of writing of IEPs for kids. And writing an IEP, you had to have a standard that the kids met. And then underneath that standard is how you're going to get that kid to that standard. So if you have, let me just find it here. If you have a goal in kindergarten, with prompting and supporting and asking and answering questions about the key details in a text. So in kindergarten, you're prompting them. In first grade, you're asking the question about them. You're not prompting them, but you're saying, hey, answer these questions about the text. And then in second grade, you talk about the who, the what, the where, the why. So it's building up on a ladder that here's a real basic skill that they have, and you're going to build on that ladder so that they understand, truly understand what they're working through, not just the surface level, and be able to take a test the next day and answer those questions, and the day after, forget it. That you're building that deep understanding for those skills that the kids really need.
Here's another question that I have, and this goes to Steve's question about what are we really talking about here. And I understand what the three of you are talking about, you know, something common among the states so that there isn't so much variety, so that some states aren't having really easy standards and other states having tough standards. Here's a basic question, though, Heather. Is there a new set of standardized tests with this, like we had with NECAPS, the New England Common Assessment, like we had with No Child Left Behind? Does this also involve a test?
It does. Yes. It
has to. That is exactly where what we have yet to see. Because until you have a test that tells you this child has learned what is expected of them in second grade or third grade, you really don't know whether or not that learning has reached that standard. So it's when they set up the tests and when they decide how well do you have to do on that test to be determined to be proficient that we will really have a concrete expression of this vague, what our listener said is all a very vague situation. It always is vague until you get down to a specific set of questions that a child has to know the answers to.
Yeah, which that's sort of where we're at now. Rubber hitting the road, somebody said earlier. Go ahead, Heather. I want to hear from you, too, on this.
Sure. So we are in collaboration with a variety of states around the country with what we call the Smarter Balanced Consortium. And that is a consortium of states, again, that are working together to build a common assessment to basically evaluate how students are doing against these standards. It's very similar to our NECAP assessment where we worked collaboratively with other states to build our NECAP assessments. It's the same kind of thing. We're just working with more states at this time. And it's going to be assessed. Where that assessment actually won't be in effect until the spring of 2015.
2015, okay.
Correct. We'll be doing NECAP in 13. And then so the next following year actually will be a spring assessment. There will be a pilot of that assessment in spring of 2014. And we're right now we're in the middle of testing items.
Okay, so coming soon.
Yes.
Yeah, because from what I've heard from my kids, hooray, kneecaps are going away, but boo, there's another test coming and it's supposed to be harder. That's the word I'm getting. So let's take another call. This is Annie in Keene. Hi, Anne. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I'm just calling because I'm an educator. I work at the Winchester School, and I'm just really looking forward to this Common Core because I think that what my students are really lacking is that natural inquiry and curiosity into the subjects that we're exploring. And, you know, under No Child Left Behind, they're just sort of looking for the answers to the question and, you know, right or wrong, as opposed to, you know, coming to those answers in sort of an organic way. So I think under the Common Core, we're really going to be looking more towards that. How do we feed that natural curiosity and how do we get some authentic inquiry from our students?
Wow. So a teacher saying, hey, this is great. You know, let's have a new set of standards in and hoping that this will be
definitely.
A little better. Yeah.
Yeah.
What concerns do you have, Annie? I'm just curious as a teacher about this, if any.
I guess my concerns are that, you know, as you have been saying, you know, it's just more buzzwords, you know, it's just a new thing in education that might, you know, it might just be a trend, but I am looking forward. For the most part, I think that No Child Left Behind had its strengths, but, you know, more importantly, it had its weaknesses, and I'm looking forward to, you know, trying something new and seeing, you know, there's only one way to find out whether these new standards are going to work or not, and it's by implementing them in the classroom.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling, Annie. Paul, what do you think about Annie's comments?
Well, I think it's exactly what all of us want, an educational system that can challenge students and awaken their curiosity and at the same time provide them with the basic skills and knowledge that they can then use to make their curiosity pay off. And so doing all of that has been the challenge of educational systems since they were set up a couple hundred years ago. And in recent years, we have not made much progress in improving our system and getting it ever to keeping up with the rest of society. So we have higher and higher expectations of our students because we have such a highly skilled society today. So if you're not college ready, you're really going to be facing real problems in the labor force. So how do we get our educational system to keep up with everything? And it's just a tremendous challenge. And I think Common Core Standards is the latest effort to find a way of doing that. But, you know, to see it as something brand new and entirely different from what's been done in the past, I think it's going to set us up to be disappointed.
So it's a building process, Paul, you're saying. It's not we're radically switching from A to B to C. It's that we're building on everything that we've done in the past.
I think that's right. And I think the good news is that the emphasis is on all children, to get all children to higher levels of performance. No Child Left Behind sort of assumed that the only problems were with the disadvantaged children or for the low-performing children who had to be brought up to a certain level. This is more saying that we need to improve the system across the board. I think that's what makes the Common Standard sort of an interesting new twist on an old idea.
Okay, Annie, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you, especially since you're involved right in this. The phone number for you to join us with your questions or comments is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. We want your thoughts and questions about the new Common Core standards that, as we're hearing, are coming our way soon. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. A couple emails and Facebook comments I'd like to share with all of you. This is from Jean, who says, whatever the reform, the emphasis globally has shifted to a need for innovation and the open creative thinking that leads to it. Jean says, paying too much attention to compare to math scores in Asian countries may be misleading. China, for example, is trying to copy us by injecting creativity and open-minded thinking into its test-driven schools and culture. This is a really interesting comment. Thank you, Jean. What do you think, Laura Haney? A little pushback on this idea that, you know, we need to be as good as China when it comes to math and technology.
Well, I think they have a different culture over there when they're teaching. Teachers are highly respected. They're very highly compensated. Here in the United States, we've, for the last couple of years, have been a lot of bashing on teachers. I think I am very concerned about test taking for the students. Not every child is a good test taker. I think there's other ways to see if the child really understands thing and understands the standard instead of just paper pencil all the time. But when we start comparing ourselves to other countries, it's test. What about the creativities, the inventors, the thinkers, and the dreamers? I mean, you can't get that in a test. And
so does Common Core have another type of assessment, Laura, as well as the test? Because, again, that's been the critique. Standardized test, great, but mm-hmm. put other elements of assessment in it as well.
I believe so. I think there's a lot of teamwork. You know, let's assess how students are working together and collaborating with each other. Let's see how they problem solve with each other. Let's not always call the teacher over to intervene in something. That the kids need to start taking control of that. And I think that's going to build some great things out there.
Heather, can you comment on that, too? There are other ways to assess besides an assessment test.
Right. And with a variety of the reform efforts that are going on around the state and around the country, one of the things you'll hear us say a lot is the use of multiple measures. And going with what Laura just said, that is critical to make sure that whether we're assessing students on the Common Core standards and making sure that they've learned what we expected them to learn, that we're using multiple measures. One of the things that the Smarter Balance Consortium is working on is the development of not only the summative assessment, which is comparable to what we've seen with NECAP, but also formative tools. Which are tools that you can use in the classroom day to day of how students are doing, but also interim tools. So before we even get to that summative assessment, how are our students doing against those standards and the curriculum that the teachers have developed in the classroom?
Here's a Facebook comment from Thomas who says, I would like to point out that your speakers keep talking about what teachers need and supporting teachers. Thomas asks, what about the students? What do you think, Heather? What do they need to succeed under this new program?
That's absolutely a great question, Thomas. Thank you so much. There, you know, when we talk about what teachers need, really what we should be saying are what do students need and how do we support teachers in getting the tools that students need in there? That's a great clarifying question, comment. And so when it comes to what's happening in the classroom, you know, making sure that our teachers have the tools in order to teach their students well is really where we're coming from.
Again, our phone number is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Thanks for that Facebook comment, Thomas. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And we'll be back in just a minute.
It's 9:39, and support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from the Stroke Program at Catholic Medical Center, a comprehensive stroke program dedicated to improving recovery rates for stroke patients. Information at catholicmedicalcenter.org. And from New Hampshire Catholic Charities, creating hope and leading people to a more secure life. Details on Catholic Charities' annual appeal can be found at nh-cc.org. This is NHPR.
One more spin. Come on. It's party. There you go. There you go.
If a casino were to open in your town, what would it mean for you, your community, or businesses nearby? As state lawmakers consider casino legislation, NHPR reporters bring you face-to-face with Millennium Gaming, one of the companies in the running to build a casino. We visit their casino in Pennsylvania and find out what folks in Salem think about the possibility of a casino moving into their town. Catch NHPR's gambling series all this week on Morning Edition and All Things Considered.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, New Hampshire's energy plan gets an update. Email us your questions before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the Common Core. These are new standards, a new reform effort for public schools coming our way next year and the year after, including higher standards for math and language arts. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. 1-800-892-NHPR. send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. And all of you, before we go back to our listeners, Paul Peterson, I did want to ask you about some politicization of the Common Core. We started out saying how this bubbled up from the states, from the governors, had strong bipartisan support, Republican and Democratic governors. Now, though, Paul, there's been some press about Common Core facing a backlash in some states and in Congress. What's that all about, Paul?
Well, you know, just before we move on to that topic, I just wanted to comment on the question on your the Facebook, which said, how about students? And
yes.
I think this is actually a very pertinent question, because high school students today really don't have as clear an understanding of what is expected of them as might evolve under Common Core standards, and this could be one of its great benefits. One of the problems in our educational system is the high school, probably the problem. And we haven't had, under No Child Left Behind, there was very little focus on the high schools, mostly elementary and middle school. So this is probably going to focus attention on the high schools by saying, okay, this is what you're supposed to know by the time you graduate from high school. And the states that have done that have really move forward the most in terms of making progress in recent years. So
Massachusetts has a test, right? That high school students have to.
They have a test here in Massachusetts
that you have to take before you can graduate.
Moved Massachusetts from the number seven state to the number one state, which really is a pretty good sign. Now, in terms of the politics of it, I do think that as we move to saying, okay, what do we really expect of students in terms of being what their performance should be? And in the end, you can have all kinds of portfolio assessments, but the most reliable assessment out there is the standardized test. It's a standardized test for a reason. It means you're fair to the students. All students are given the same test. Otherwise, the judgments of the teacher, and which can vary a lot from one teacher to the next, gets in, you know, it affects the kind of assessment that's given to a student. So the fair way to test students is by a common standard, and that, I'm sure, is going to be part of Common Core standards. You really couldn't imagine it without a common set of tests. So once those tests come into play, it is going to provoke a lot of political opposition, and we're beginning to see it now. And it's coming both from Republicans and from Democrats. It's not just a partisan issue. There are some Republicans who continue to support it. Jeb Bush is very supportive of it, for example. But then there are other conservative Republicans who are saying, no, this is imposing federal values on the states. And but probably the more significant opposition is coming from within the teaching community. The AFT just said that they want to postpone any evaluation of teachers under the Common Core standards for until many years after the assessments have been put into place. So as long as you can push all the reality of somebody being held accountable way into the future, you can have agreement. But the closer you get to that deadline when you're really going to say, okay, now we expect people to do this, that's when the controversy is going to get intensified.
And that's what we saw with No Child Left Behind as well. And since he mentioned the teacher union, Laura Haney, I do have to let you jump in there as well. Are you guys putting off taking your medicine there?
Well, it was our national president, Randy Weingarten, that came out and asked for a moratorium on the high-stakes testing when it's attached to testing. When it comes down to it, if a kid does well on a test, that means the teacher must be doing something right and they get a good evaluation. You have to look at the whole picture, not just the test score. You need to look at what happened, you know, 2 days before in that child's life. You need to examine the whole picture, and not just a day for an hour when they were taking that test. In New York City, they've started these tests. And what happened in a third grade class, they had two test booklets. This is a third grade class. Two test booklets. It was the reading test. Two test booklets, an answer key, and start. So the kids don't know how long to read the first test book. They don't know when to start the second test book, and to come to find out, the second test book had more questions in it, so a lot of the kids didn't have the time. So if we're going to start using these tests to base teachers' effectiveness on, we need to make sure that we understand that the kids are used to these tests, that we give them the time, and like I said, the teachers the time to understand the standards to teach the students so that they know that, so when they go to take that test or the measure, that they truly understand it and looking at the whole child.
Let's take some more calls. We've got lots of people who want to jump in on this. And Roy's waiting in Manchester. Hey, Roy, thanks for hanging on. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thank you very much. My question is, I've heard a lot about standards, not curriculum, but I don't see how that can be divided. In other words, who determines curriculum is not meeting standards, and what can they do? Can the feds mandate certain curriculum? What can be done about ineffective teachers?
All right, this is great, and standards and curriculum is a really important point. Heather, why don't you tackle that one? And by the way, when he says the feds, again, we keep saying it, this isn't the feds this time around. It's not No Child Left Behind. It's not Race to the Top. But go ahead, standards versus curriculum. It's an important
point. That's right, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Roy, because that's a common misconception around the state, but also around the country. There's a few things that Common Core standards do not define, and one of those is curriculum, how the standards are taught in the classrooms. And so the Department of Education in New Hampshire is adamant that we provide supports to teachers, that we work with partners in providing those supports for curriculum development if they need that. We have amazing teachers in this state that are providing professional development around the curriculum that we are connecting through what we call our network strategy, which we can certainly talk about more if you'd like. But Roy, that's a great question. It's not, there's no federal mandate on the Common Core state standards, but also no federal mandate, certainly, and no state mandate on curriculum and how this is implemented in the classroom.
So Common Core is standards, Heather. Doesn't include curriculum, like, you know, for 2 months you'll study the American Revolution, and then for 2 months after that you'll study the Civil War. It's not that specific.
Well, and with curriculum, you're saying how is the child going to learn the Revolutionary War, or, you know, those kinds of things. The standards will lay out what we want students to know and be able to
know.
Do, but not how the teacher is teaching that in the classroom. And for an example, a teacher can, a biology teacher that I admire so much in the state, has often told me how she is using the literacy standards in her biology classroom. And she, in order to see if a child is learning, she takes the skills that child may have. Maybe they're a writer, maybe they're a musician, and those kinds of things, and allow the child to show how they understand amoebas, for example, through their own skill set. And so she's able to bring in the student, going to our last caller, with that process, and it's pretty fascinating to
I
watch.
See. So that's why Annie, our teacher who called earlier,
yes,
was excited, because you have to know this, but it's up to Annie to decide how she's going to transmit that knowledge.
Right. And
go ahead, Laura.
And I think that's what we need, the time to make sure that we have the rich curriculum for the students to learn those standards. And we can't start testing the students and sanctioning the teachers, because we have to have those tests to make sure that is a rich curriculum.
Roy, great question. Here's an email from Ray in Silver Lake. And Paul, I'll throw this to you if I could. Ray says, these Common Core standards have to be considered in the context of actual subject matter taught in science and social studies. To be competent in reading, you have to read something. What you read should be what you are studying in science and social studies. A lab report is a writing piece. A spreadsheet is a math exercise. If you don't integrate, the learning won't occur, and you run out of time anyway. Ray, thanks for the comment. What do you think, Paul?
Well, all those points are correct. Of course, you first of all have to be able to read, and that skill has to be acquired early in life. But as you go through school, you have to learn how to read a wide variety of different materials. And so the expectations have to be clear that this is what you need to learn in science, and this is what you need to learn in social studies. All of that is exactly what Common Core is all about. But of course, it doesn't really, and it's great to say the teachers can do it whatever way they think is best. But that's what teachers have always done. What we haven't yet discovered is exactly how to motivate students, how to bring them to higher levels of performance, how do we get great teachers into the classroom, how do we improve the quality of our teaching force so that they can take the curriculum? Well, standards don't teach themselves. Curriculum doesn't teach itself. The teachers have to be the mechanism. So to think that the Common Core standards can by themselves, with no other changes in the educational system, transform our system and bring us up to international standards is a little bit utopian. We're going to probably discover that reality as we go downstream.
Here's another email from Fred. He says, no one has yet mentioned music or art. What role, Fred says, they're not only part of the whole person, but also tie into math or science. And boy, Heather, this often comes up when we talk about standards. These Common Core standards are for math and language arts. There's no mention of civics or history or art or music. And those are important, too.
Absolutely. And these are really great questions from your audience, Laura.
And I can't get to all of them today, so we'll have to do a follow-up.
Well, that would be wonderful. There's actually a two-part answer to this. So within the Common Core literacy side of the house, it actually does talk about making sure that we are using an interdisciplinary approach. And that's why I brought up the science teacher earlier, because not only with science and social studies and civics and all of those courses, subjects that we talk about, but also with the arts. But the second part of that answer is there's actually a national movement right now, again, through arts educators around the country at the Department of Education. I'm very proud to say we have someone, Marcia McCaffrey, who's on that team leading that for how arts standards will change in this country to make sure that they are front and center.
Let's take one more call if we could. And Bill is waiting in Shelbourne. Hi, Bill. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering what, if anything, the Common Core may do for kids that are at the upper end of the academic scale. I'm currently in a situation where, let me back up and say I'm a strong supporter of public schools, but I'm looking at having to pull my daughter out of the public school system and put her in private school because her needs are not being met. And also that currently New Hampshire does not recognize gifted and talented, and will the Common Core help that at all?
Okay, thanks for the question. And Paul, how about you take that one first?
Well, very interesting point. Only 7% of our students, or 8% I think it's now, 8% are performing at the advanced level in mathematics as compared to twice that percentage in Canada. But when we compare ourselves to other countries around the world, but we forget that Canada is doing twice as well as the United States in terms of how much its proficiency rates, and especially at the advanced level. So we are not challenging our high school students to the highest levels of performance, even when we probably have the ability. There's no reason to think that we don't have as many able students in the United States as our neighbors to the north, and yet they're just not performing at that level.
So does Common
Core
fix that?
Standards, I'm not sure, is going to do that, because
really?
They're trying to set up a common set of standards rather than a distinctive set of standards so that everybody gets challenged at the level of their of whatever capabilities they have, they can fully realize them.
You know, it's a good question, Bill, and thank you for calling in. And Paul, another question for you, picking up on something you said earlier, you know, when the rubber really starts to hit the road with this Common Core. So, Paul, what happens if a school doesn't meet Common Core standards? Again, under No Child Left Behind, because it was federally administered, there were federal sanctions, there were, you know, schools designated as failing, the possibility of a school closing. There was sort of a set of sanctions that kicked into place if schools didn't meet the No Child Left Behind standards. What happens, Paul, if schools don't meet the Common Core standards?
Well, the federal government, the U.S. Department of Education, has said we will waive the No Child Left Behind requirements provided you set in a new set of requirements. And they have said that if you put in the Common Core standards, that is the kind of requirements we're looking for. So the states that have had the waivers administered for No Child Left Behind now have promised a new set of obligations to the U.S. Department of Education. So there is a federal element in all of this
yes.
story. And the and in that there is, if a school is particularly low performing, then that school it will be identified as a turnaround school, and it will be subjected to a certain set of interventions. All of this will become a lot more clear once the whole process works itself out, which is going to take some time.
Was that a mistake, by the way, getting the federal government, the federal Department of Education involved, Paul? Some said, you know, look, Obama administration, leave it alone. Let the states do it. now there is some level of federal involvement. You're right.
Well, it's, you know, will states do it on their own? That's the question. Some states will, obviously. There's a lot of concern that many states will not. And so, you know, there's a lot of unevenness around the country. In New England is very fortunate to have a high-quality school system relative to the rest of the country. I think the real drive for Common Core standards is to try to bring much of the South and the West of the United States up to the levels of what we have attained here in the Northeast.
Well, and Heather, to you, so what's the deadline for us here in New Hampshire? What are we going to see coming over the next months and years on this?
Well, just over the summer, we have several regions in the state. All five regions are putting together professional development opportunities for teachers regarding the Common Core state standards. We have a steering committee, a statewide steering committee that is working. In fact, I'm leaving here and going to that later on today, working together on how we provide better supports to teachers and then to our students in school. So we're going to be working very diligently. We work hand in hand, as much as we can with our partners out there to make sure that we are building those kinds of supports for our schools and districts.
So parents will start hearing about this in early 2014, it sounds like.
We want parents to be hearing about this now. If they haven't, we need to do a better job with that.
All right. Thank you all very much for coming in. Heather Gage, nice to meet you. Thank you for being here. Heather Gage, Director of the Division of Instruction at the New Hampshire Department of Education. Paul Peterson, thank you also for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Paul Peterson, Director of the Harvard University Program on Education Policy and Editor-in-Chief of the journal Education Next. And Laura Haney, thank you also for coming in.
Thank you.
Laura Haney, President of the New Hampshire Chapter of the American Federation of Teachers. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteers are Priscilla Malcolm and Alan Cohen. Our intern is Tim Camerato. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, an updated energy plan for the Granite State. With lots of proposals on the table right now, from biomass to wind to hydropower, efforts are underway once again to develop a statewide plan and judge these projects with that broader frame of reference in mind. But it's not an easy process, taking into account various concerns, from the environment to property values to energy costs. Email us at nhpr.org and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.